The shortest question is overrated. We should be out of here in the next 30 minutes. 3-0. At most 4-5 minutes, 45. And we were, before lunch, proceeding with questions to the presentation. Everything else excluded, apologies and everything regarding members getting copies in good time. Now, I think we're proceeding in that very same fashion. I did apologize beforehand. I get to be most uncomfortable when I handle the lunch question or tea questions here. I know my reasons for that. Once again, if anyone missed maybe a meatball or something, please take my apology. Honorable members who I had noted, sorry, Honorable Minister, you got your meatball, so? yes, thank you very much, Minister, for that. I think I just heard the sound. Honorable Madela, but so long, the proceeding for tomorrow will still announce, but clearly we're taking the FFC, we're taking the department, we're taking the commission tomorrow, and my apologies, CLCC again, because I thought we could slot you in today, but it seems it's not working out. So we're taking commission tomorrow. And I do know that on Thursday we're taking the private member's bill on the restitution. I will check with that member if he is ready, and he must or she must really be ready to brief the committee and to brief the department, the commission, and all on the restitution question. And tomorrow I'm also advised, thank you, Commissioner Secretary, we're also taking the CPA's report. I've not really sequenced those of tomorrow, but basically, in principle, those are the presentations tomorrow, all right? Then we're proceeding with questions to the ITB. Honorable Madela.
Thank you very much, Chair. I also wish to welcome the report and the presentation, especially the annual report that has been provided to us. Thank you very much, Chair. It's a very impressive document, and I would certainly spend time in going through each and every page. Chair, this lunch break is not a good thing. It impacts on one's thought trends. You know, you had a series of issues you wanted to raise before the break, and the impact of food changes your oneself. Chair, I wish to express concern with regard to reporting that indicates that the annual performance targets have not been met. If one looks in terms of the expenditure, clearly, I think it's page 17, not slide 17, page 17, Chair, CFO, we will find clearly there's a huge, huge underspending. I know there are the notes that explains why the underspending has occurred, but it is indeed a reason for great concern, Chair, that an allocation total budget of 92 million rand, only 43 million has been spent, Chair, which actually brings into question whether Honourable Judge, whether the IDB needs 92 million rand if they can't spend it in one financial year, Chair. The other area that, and I think this is the debate that you started, Chair, with regard to the trust land and the accounting or the administrative authority in relation to the ITB Act of 1994, the amendments in 1997, Chair. The question that blocks my mind, Chair, is this issue about ownership. You know, in my recollection and my understanding of our land disposition in our country, Honorable Minister, the apartheid government through what we call the Grey Act, the 1913 Land Act, the 1936 Land Trust Act, and a whole range of other legislation have taken land from our people. Now, one would imagine that the main reason, a compelling reason, in the run-up to 1994 election, is to, in actual fact, to give the King of KwaZulu-Natal, King Goodwill Zwelithini, the assurances that the land, that these people, that these communities in KZN is living on, will not be given to Honorable Kabisi's Kwatsa to do whatever he wants to. So he's been given that land, that trust. But Chair, the people were staying on that land. It was their land. Now, I know in the olden days, Judge, the people were given PTOs, permission to occupy. I'm a bit worried when we speak about leases, etc. Does it mean that if my family, if I live in KwaZaduka, wherever, if I, my apology, my pronunciation.
Kwadugusa,
yeah. If I live there, if I live there, Honorable Judge, I had this PTO. I consider this my land. I'm part of my traditional authority, in which I respect in that area. But now I'm told that land doesn't belong to me. It belongs to a trust. And the trust, through its representative, its administrator, negotiate with business people to develop the land, be it the African Rainbow Nation having a mine on the land or not. But the land is mine. Does it mean I have to pay this trust? I have to pay rent every year or every month? And the fear with payment of rent, Honorable Minister, is that if I do not pay, there's consequences. I may be put off this land. You know, I'm worried about that kind of implication. Please indicate if my understanding of my analysis is wrong. I would be very, very happy if that is the case. But the issue of tenure security is very, very important. And if it's still under the same conditions it was when Malan was still in charge, then it's a problem. Then my conditions have not really been changed. Chair. One certainly would want to see that PTO is being transformed into a real deed of ownership, Chair, so that that title deed can be passed on to the generation that comes after me. Thank you very much, Chair. It's just that this question that our Chair has raised today have opened up these kinds of questions in my mind. There's still a whole host of it, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Nopa. Honorable Chabele.
Thanks, Chairperson. This morning I was driving to work, I was listening to Umkanuo Nene. Umhlobo Nene, yeah. There's Umkanuo Nene Kai at the Shangan Station. No, at home we have Umkanuo Nene Kai, which is broadcasting Shangan or Zonga. So, and then this one is Xhosa, is Umkanuo. Umhlobo Nene, yeah. They were playing this song, yeah, Puzi Kemi, sorry. Umhlobo Yatengo, ngabone selebona. They were playing that song this morning, and when I was listening to the report, and I realized that I know ngempela lomhlaba uyathengwa engabona sihlala ku. The presentation coming from way back when we start started with the, discussing the ITP in the beginning of the year, we were told in the presentations that part of what the ITP and the trust is doing is to improve the level, to actually to upgrade the tenant, the rights that people have on the land, including, you know, that we'll have a document that shows that this land, well, it's allocated to you, who owns what piece of land and what purpose is it for. You know? And and when you listen to people talk, it's like the upgrading is, you know, you move from a PTO to something else, which is a PTO. You can't use it anywhere. You can't go to the bank and get money using a PTO. But if we have something, a document that shows that the land is given to you under particular circumstances, then you can use that, I don't know, maybe to give you some form of a better token of ownership than the PTO. And if you are leasing the land, if you are given a lease by the trust, I don't know whether it's Ingonyama Trust or is the board, I don't know. We just need to go through that and get it explained properly. So according to me, it means then that your status as a landowner seem to have improved when it has actually gotten worse, because now you are going to pay rent on the land you are leasing, which had been yours over these years, transferred from, you know, from the great grandparents to you. Land moves from, you know, from one person to the other within the family. And now if we have this, is upgraded to a lease, it means that you've got to pay rent. It doesn't matter how much it is. And what if you do not have money? So you'll be owning the, you'll be owing the ITB. And there comes a time when the debt laws are applied, that if you cannot pay, so these are the penalties, or you've got, you know, it's funny as it's all up before, because you owe us. And even the issues of that is land that is leased to people who own, who want to open shopping malls and some industries and whatever. That land is not taken from, I mean, that land was obviously it belonged to somebody. It belonged to a particular community. And within that community, you can actually say that the line of Sibanyoni's property starts from me after this river to that tree. It belongs to the Sibanyoni's. And if that is where the mall wants to put a shop, what happens? What happens to Sibanyoni? What's going to be the Sibanyoni family's benefit when that land is given? The money gets given to the rates are paid to the ITB, and then from there the money gets distributed through traditional authorities in the form of bazaaries, training and other things. But now what happens to the previous owners of the land? What is this that they are gaining? Because their land was taken from them and given to some company. What is this that they are benefiting different from the training that and the interventions? I mean, you know, if for instance I've given my land and I don't have grandchildren who are going to school, so it means I'm not benefiting anything, but the community, of course, does benefit. But as an individual, what is in for me on this piece of land that is taken for the betterment of all? So I'm just saying that it creates an impression that it is disempowering. And at the same time, of course, lomhlaba lingabona sihlele kuwona bathi uyathengiswa lomhlaba nje njalo nje ngenyaka sibhadala imali amasimu ezintoneni. I don't speak Zulu very well, but I love this song. What is in for me as Sibanyoni? That's what I want to be taken through. But at the same time, the question of the ITP and the board. When land is, if the land is registered, in whose name does it get registered? Is it in the name of Ngonyama or in the name of the board? Because according to me, if you register land, you are renting it not from the board, but you are renting it from Ngonyama. Because the board becomes an administrative body that helps Ngonyama to implement certain decisions. So the land cannot be registered in the name of the board. It can only be registered in the name of the trustees. Now, how does this land get registered when it's given? Is it in the name of Ngonyama, of Udaire and King Zweltin, or is it registered in the name of the board, which is led by Justice Ngwenya and the team? So I just want clarity on those, and maybe it will help me understand this better.
Thank you very much, honorable members. Mama Kasa. Or at the next round. No, that's fine. CEO, let me just add, maybe anyone. Oh, so I'm so sorry, because I had advised that you start and you'll be the last, and then you advise otherwise. I had thought you were going to start. I'm so sorry for that. Continue, Cesar.
Page 5. Under ensuring effective stakeholder engagement, I see there is underperformance on communication reports. I would just like maybe the CEO to explain what communication reports are. I don't quite get it, you know. I understand what the strategic objective is, but sending a communication report to the board, I just need to know what is a communication report, please. And then it seems a lot of your problems are around capacity constraints. But when I look at the vacancies, you don't have so many vacancies. In fact, I think you only have two, if I'm not mistaken. That of the estate manager and the... Hey, you guys must print it slightly bigger, some of us, our eyesight. And the deputy manager. I think those are the two roles that are not filled in. And to me, it seems that there's so much impact that these two have on your performance. So I'd just like, very briefly, what does the estate manager do? What is the role of the estate manager? And what is the role of the manager administration? And when I listened to you, you said you had actually advertised twice. I would like to know, are you advertising within KZN? Are you advertising in all the provinces, in the national papers? What is it exactly? Because I cannot believe that you can't find people to, you know, with the job shortages in South Africa today, you can't find people who will actually occupy these. And then, linked with your capacity constraints, could you just please explain about the six officials that are undergoing disciplinary procedures? What exactly is the problem there, and what is the impact of what is there any financial impact in terms of the disciplinary procedures that you're taking against them? And the amount involved, sorry. And then payment of, also on page five, payment of undisputed invoices within 30 days. I think I must really commend you there, because I know this has been a problem in the past, and you guys have actually got on top of it, which is great. Okay, this is also capacity constraints, so I won't go into that. There is something about land parcels for commercial use. It's just that I can't see really, these reports are so small. But there was something about land parcels for commercial use. If you can just tell me the page, if you have it there. But it is. I think you guys overstated or you overachieved in that one. Is that so? Yes, you overachieved in that one. But what is worrying me is this is land that is used for commercial use. And to me, does that cascade down to the people on the ground? Whatever revenue is got out of that commercial enterprise, do the people on the ground benefit in terms of that? Okay, that's the one. And then the MOU with the Agricultural Development Agency, I'm surprised that you're saying it's dependent on a third party. I would just like you to explain that, because I can't understand us or you people setting a goal or setting an objective and then saying it's dependent on a third party, so you cannot reach it. Were you not aware that it would be dependent on a third party when you set the objective in the first place? And had you not identified the third party at the time when you actually did that? And then page 8. Page 8, I'm just worried about these under rural development, all of these that have not been achieved at all. And I'm just wondering if... I don't know if I didn't, you know, quite get the reasons why this has not been achieved. It's surprising to me that under a whole program, all of them, if I'm not mistaken, are not reached in the year, in 12 months, at all. So to me, it is very worrying. And I mean, one of the reasons is omission to table the plan for approval at board level. Omission by whom and why? Why would that be? I mean, you have board meetings every quarter or so. So how would this be omitted and by whom? And what were the consequences to that particular person, if any? Okay. And royalty revenue, this is just for my understanding. I think it's just ignorance on my part. If you could just explain what royalty revenue is exactly in layman's terms, I would really appreciate that. Chair, I think I will stop there. As I had suggested in you know, earlier on, I'm really doing this under duress because I would have liked to have more time to go through this, because I feel there are quite a number of issues that one can talk to here. But I don't want to sound like a broken record, but we all know we haven't had time to actually look at this properly. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honourable Baban. Again, I must apologize. I completely forgot, because my original intention was to take you before that. The time is quarter to 3. It will be up to you how you delay yourselves. I reserve all my questions. I have very strong ones for you, but I'll reserve those.
Thanks, Honourable.
Let me just explain the thing about the time. I did, during a lunch, interact with the ITB regarding their bookings as to what to do and the way forward. And I suggested that they don't change their flight times. But now there's travel time. Once traffic picks up to the airport, it becomes a nightmare. I do know it. And it's their last flight. I do know it. I use it also. So if people think I'm speaking in French when I'm saying the time is quarter to 3, I was referring to that thing.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson, and thanks for the questions from the honorable members.
I'll start with Honorable Roberts, and I think it will cut across where we've mentioned capacity constraints. Maybe let me link it to Honorable Babama's question on capacity constraints. Yes, there are two vacancies in terms of the approved organogram, but if you look at the actual work of ITD, it goes beyond the approved organogram, and that is why you'd see there are 38, if I'm not mistaken, staff members on top of the approved organogram, and that is why the ICP is undergoing an organogram review. So the issue of capacity constraints is a real one, irrespective of whether or not there are two vacancies. With regard to the issue of illegal occupation, the board takes two approaches in relation to the issue of illegal occupation. People occupy the land for various reasons, and I think last year, during the third quarter, we did report to the Portfolio Committee on illegal occupation that was also happening in Newcastle. The approach is either a legal one or where we have a negotiated settlement with the people that are in occupation or that want to take occupation of that particular piece of land, where necessary. Some kind of an agreement gets reached between the trust board as well as those people. With regard to agricultural projects, I must say I would not know on top of my head the actual extent, and I would request that we forward the detailed reports on all agricultural programs, each with its indication of the number of hectareage, if that could be allowed to the portfolio committee. In terms of land audit, which was to be done, this is in relation to what exactly exists within Ingonyama Trust, within the traditional council areas, which will also look at both business as well as any other activities that actually had happening. And therefore, that is why we also undertake that, because in some instances, you find people trading on Ingonyama Trust land without any proceeds accruing also to the communities. And that's why this one is in relation to those, so that then there are also benefits to the wider portion of the community. In terms of salaries, I think we've indicated the salary levels as per the normal government rates in terms of salary level 1 to 4, I think there is, maybe we can just send a printout to the portfolio committee that says if you're on salary band 1 to 2, what exactly does it mean? Salary level 5 to 6, what does it translate to in terms of rand and cents? I think that information can be forwarded, because in our presentation we had grouped it in terms of the levels as opposed to the rand and cents that we can forward. In terms of why there is no unskilled labor, I think the operations of the board dictate the type of people that will attract for the various work streams, and there hasn't been a work stream in particular within the Ingonyama Trust Board that has actually attracted the unskilled labor. The issue of cleaning, for example, and as well as security services, those are outsourced to a private contractor. I think Mr. Mia will deal with the matter of deficit on that one. Now moving to Honorable Madela's questions with regard to the PTOs. The PTOs existed through the old dispensation, and therefore the only tenure, or maybe the only two tenures that you can actually have moving forward, depending on the types of agreements that are reached between the board as well as the people, is either the title or the lease. And therefore, there is a combination in terms of our approach as Ingonyama Trust Board in terms of those. There is a combination of both that we use. I think we also need to indicate that, yes, there was some at some point a call or maybe a meeting with AMACOS, I think we reported last time, where the issue of the discussion on a secure tenor was actually discussed, but that would remain on discussion until the matter has been finalized at that level. With regard to Honorable Chavele, when a person or an investor, maybe let me with regard to residential leases, to a very large extent, that normally is dealt with when the person, there is an issue of informed consent that we actually subscribe to a very large extent, where a person actually agrees to the terms on his own, and if it's voluntary, maybe let me just put it that way, and we make the person to also sign an issue of informed consent to actually confirm, so that if somebody was to come at a later stage to question, then that issue is there. With regard to the commercial leases, land that is under Ngonyama Trust is communally owned. And therefore, the issue of me saying I have the land that is mine on a piece of land that's communally owned, I don't think legally is a correct interpretation. And as such, should there be a situation where there is a business application that is likely to transverse on land that is occupied, the proper consultation is done, a clear relocation plan with the agreement, where people don't agree, the matter doesn't get forced onto them. So basically, I don't think there is anybody that can say today, I was moved without my consent to relocate. In fact, in situations where we discover that a developer is moving people without their consent, we actually intervene on behalf of the people. There is a case, I think, in Ishowe, that I think we spoke about at the time earlier on, where land had been transferred incorrectly to the municipality, and we discovered when the people were being moved actually by the investor, and the board intervened on behalf of the people, and therefore this issue is looked at quite seriously from our side, and that resulted in a court matter, and the matter is still yet to be finalized through. I'm aware that there is a possibility of even out-of-court settlement, but the interest of those people I actually put as a priority from our side. With regard to land registration, the other issue that was linked to this was, what happens to me if I were to be moved? There is a relocation plan, and all the payments that are related to that in terms of where you get relocated, your house get rebuilt, and all the conditions that are linked to any kind of relocation are adhered to. Yes. In terms of ITP and whose name is the land registered, the land is registered in the name of the trust. Our title deeds, that's how they actually are registered. With Honorable Babama, page 5, which relates to communication reports. Yeah, this I think is one of those indicators that one would say it's part of the past. I must actually say. And as a result, there was a certain level of reports that have been submitted in the past, and I think as years continued, the board wanted a more detailed report, but unfortunately, up until the end of the financial year, the secretariat was not able to actually provide that kind of the reporting. And as such, those reports, while some of them were presented, but they could not be accepted in terms of quality at a board level.
May I, Chair? Just clarity. So these are reports on communication that has been done on the ground, and then you are reporting now to the board.
Okay. This is mainly media communication, that the media liaison person would be communicating to the board on things and activities that have happened during the period, which relates to either communication about the board, in terms of that has come up, as well as communicating about the trust that would have come up during that period.
Sorry, Chair. So that means that there was no communication during that year, or there was communication, it's just the reports that were not acceptable?
Yes, Honourable Member, there was communication, but it was the quality that was not acceptable. I think the issue of capacity constraints, I've indicated, this goes beyond the two posts in terms of the actual capacity constraints that we have, and thus then the review of the organogram, which has taken off in this financial year. In terms of adverts, our adverts were in the national newspaper, but we unfortunately were unable to actually attract the right applicants. In terms of the six officials, I request that the Honourable Chairperson maybe deal with that, noting that there are issues of delegation in relation to this one. Oh, okay. In terms of the land parcels, that were valued, there was an overachievement. This was partly to also deal with the issue of land valuation as a result of the previous year's qualification in terms of the extent, because partly we also wanted to ascertain if we were to go through the process of valuation overall, what are the possible cost implications. This was one of the approaches that we used, and as such we could only deal with 38 as it's at that time, the end of the financial year. And that is why I think moving forward we're also looking at using municipal values in order to actually try and deal with the issue of extent and value of the land. The revenue that actually is generated from these businesses, yes, it is dispersed back to the communities concerned on the ground. And that is where you will find issues of projects as well as bursaries being awarded onto the community. With regard to the Agricultural Development Agency, yes, we had identified it, mainly because of our agricultural production or agricultural projects for beneficiation purposes as well as marketing. But obviously, I think we limited ourselves to one entity, and that is why, unfortunately, as the year progressed and we had a number of trying to engage with them, and that was not successful. And that is why in the 2017-18 financial year, we've actually increased the net to other agencies that could also assist in terms of beneficiation as well as marketing of the beneficiaries and training as well. The achievement, the underachievement on page 8 relates to, it's not all, maybe just as a correction, the training plan. Yes, sorry, it's on page 16. Of slide 16, sorry. The educational awards, it has a positive achievement. The traditional councils trained was 11, and I did indicate our training officer passed on in December, and the one that couldn't then be done during the last quarter, which was supposed to be done, it was as a result of that. The first one was as a result of an omission from, I think, Secretariat, the training officer in particular, but unfortunately he then passed on during the course of the year. And that's what relates to the first two. Thank you, Chair. On these ones, I'll request Mr. Mia to just respond to the financial ones.
Thank you, Chairperson.
The time is 3 o'clock. When I worked at the Eastern Cape Legislature, I asked everyone never to use the title Honourable to me, because I felt that it's such a big one. But I would like to remain very honourable to the board here. So the time is 3 o'clock. I've had to put my head on the block and say they will catch their flight. So please, whatever we do. But if you delay your own time, then it's your own problem. I've demonstrated keenness to get you to your flight. I had about 6 questions. I had to put them aside. But you keep on delaying, and then you face the consequences. I would like to remain with my title of honourable after that.
Thank you, Chair. I think it's the question of deficit that he's got to respond.
Chairperson, the question on the deficit. The deficit does not relate to the funding from the transfer payment of the Ingonyama Trust Board. It relates to the Ingonyama Trust funding. In terms of the proper audit standards and disclosure of expenditure, it will only be appropriate if we account for all of the expenditure and which has been audited, which then results in a deficit on trust funds. However, we are considering amending certain policies which relate to the operational expenditure and the budget structure of the board, of the trust. Thank you. Yes, Chair. And the underspending, I've been reminded, relates specifically to the trust funds. Thank you.
Thank you. Judge, on the DC, disciplinary case.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think in the interest of time, like you said, I request that we also file supplementary explanation in writing. I note that the question of Honorable Ntshavheleng as well as Honorable Madela, the critical questions they have raised, I think they will leave here grieved that we did not respond to that fully. With regards to the DC, there is no amount involved, but the employees are still on suspension, and it's only next week from the 11th that the disciplinary proceedings are commencing in full scale. That has to do with, among others, the falsification of documents and other related things. I can disclose no further than that for now. So the employees are on, the implications were to budget. Yes, they are on suspension with full pay. Thank you.
I am measuring time. It is 21 minutes to reach the airport, supposing you are getting out of that car of that door to your car, but it will be the whole process, another 15 minutes to get to the car and perhaps take some car back to the... So I do think that we are on yellow, amber flicker lights. But I saw Honorable Robertson, Honorable Ntshavheleng. I think if there are pending issues, but generally, honourable members should know that at any point in time, we can forward via committee secretary and even directly any questions for return responses and so forth to any other institution of state. So that's a democratic space we have. Honourable Robertson, Honourable Ntshavheleng.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. It was just a follow-up regarding the land audit within ITB, and I will then submit written questions.
I'll be very keen on that. I had noted it also. I'll be very keen. Yeah. Thank you.
If I could respond to that. I heard that. I thought the CEO did answer that. But we have before you the financials, in other words, of both institutions. You will see no land in the name of the board. So on written document before you today, we say the trust owns X amount of land. We say the trust. We have not set the board. If there was any piece of land registered in the name of the board, would have disclosed that. We are aware, of course, of some people outside who think that way. But all our title deeds are Ingonyama Trust trustees. Thank you.
Thank you very much. It is also an important one, Judge, and thank you. To the ITB, thank you very much for your coming to join us, and thank you so much for your presentation. Excuse us if at some instances we make you uncomfortable. It is our duty to ask the difficult questions and the awkward questions. We also respect the EC law, but we cannot not ask questions about the public revenue and about all those issues because it's our responsibility to do that. And so it's not out of disrespect. So we're trying to convey our greetings on behalf of our chair. We salute, we pass greetings to Isilo. We wish him well, generally, not because there's any, but it is our duty. So when it is reported, the interactions are much more in the spirit of the public duty of the public representatives. And the public may see us as doing exactly that and not compromising it. Thank you to, so the while we wrap up, probably the ITB is excused immediately. If there should be any follow-up questions, please, or any follow-up submissions, feel free to forward those. I know that Honorable Roberts was keen to follow up on certain issues, and like any other member, we may do that in writing, ITB. But thank you for coming, and all the best on your way back. Hold the fort for me there. Tell that flight I should join them Thursday or Friday or whenever the time should allow. Thank you. As for the department, Honorable Minister and DMs, perhaps on the same vein, we should, perhaps without the commotion disturbing you, I just wanted to also thank you very much for coming to join us. You could have wished to think that Minister and DMs, today you are not talking, and therefore you could have preferred to stay away, but we think that it's much more useful when you are around, because our collective work, because at the end of the day, we all work towards the common good of the person in the street. If we listen to the same messages, then we get wiser and wiser. So things that are said in your presence are very different from, I mean, might as well be very useful if they were said in your absence for better understanding and for on the part of all of us. Thank you, Minister. Thank you, DMs, for attending the session, the whole day session with us. Department, AG. What's left? AG. The other AG is left. The other AG is still with us. Thank you for coming. And then I did note some word overseas somewhere in the reports of the, I'm just clarifying, Swiss Ahmad, I did hear the word overseas from CEO. I did, and I wrote it and underlined it. So, it looks like the score is one in your favor, Sis Amanda. You're still leading. But we must continue to get closer to understanding how the trust and the trust board work, operate, how do they finances, oversight, and everything of the sort. The AG's office, you might be keen it depends on your logistics, to join the session where FFC is talking to us tomorrow, because AG you would then understand better, you know, but also is FFC's chapter 9 or 10? 9. 10 is Public Service Commission. I think the FFC is 9. It would be nice to cross-reference notes and get their take on issues. Of course, they're dealing with the broad parameters and so forth. Yeah. So, AG, you are invited into tomorrow. It's up to your good selves if you are able to make it or not. Once again, I outline, colleagues, tomorrow in terms of principle, not the sequence. Tomorrow we're dealing with CPA's report. We're dealing with the department. Ms. Ashari, remember now, I've already pronounced and I didn't wait for October. You know, for national presidency, the people must wait for October. They are preferred. I've pronounced most, ne? Ms. Ashari for DG. Oh, Prince is going to nominate you. Ashari 17. Hey, she's going to be very angry with me. She'll feel I've abused my platform now. So tomorrow we're taking the department. Tomorrow we're taking the commission. We're taking the FFC. We're then having the what else I'm forgetting? The National Treasury, if they confirm, you know. We persuaded a gentleman who came to say, because they want just to give us the documentation. We said, no, they must really be available to talk to the documentation. Yeah. But thanks, Perpetua, for that. National Treasury, we're looking at still, yeah. That's our roadmap for tomorrow. Again, same venue, same starting time. And the Thursday, okay, yeah. Thursday, the restitution, July 28th last year, Concord gave us 24 months. I'm saying us as we are one people in this country. 24 months and already a good 12, 13, 14, 15 has gone. It's odd months left before that. So one member I hear was vigilant enough to try and initiate something on Thursday. We're fielding that introduction of the members' bill at a committee. It's been referred. It's been done. All due process have been done. We'll hear that on Thursday. That's for Thursday, and we'll ask the department or a minister, or I don't know which of your DMs perhaps could join. Then for the briefing, and then there will then be the process of the committee to go on public hearings, following what will be called on Thursday, Honorable Roberts, Honorable Mbabama, the motion of desirability. In other words, then the committee must satisfy itself. Do we really see, are we really interested, or we think that no, let it go back to the Concord and whatever, with no, so the whole question about, so that's for Thursday. But that should take us to hardly 1.5 hours in the morning. It depends on the extent of the engagement. For Thursday, obviously, we'll invite the committee support to try and reach out to the media as well, because if it's about public participation that Concord had felt, was so at all stages, you want that to be assured that there is public participation open. And everyone has really been thanked. I may have omitted anyone, and apologies if I did. Ralph, did I thank you? You know, there's Ralphie here. He's a great fellow. He's nice to work with. I don't know if I had a hand or something, but I do know that I'm going to hand the meeting back to committee secretary to finalize her processes that are done by people as good as her, you know. After those two hands, let's just do that. Honorable Roberts, Sin?
Thanks, Honorable Chair. With regards to the private members bill on Thursday, will we be getting copies of it? I don't know how it works generally. Would we be getting copies of it up front, or will it be introduced to us here at the Portfolio Committee and then from the debate? Thanks.
There's just lots of paper here on my and the files. Now, I just think that we need to have time where we look deeply into this Ngonyama Trust, because some of the things we hear do not tally with the reality on the ground. There's a certificate that is called the conveyancing certificate T57631/2001. Which is issued in the name of the board and not the trust. You see? So we need to check that. I think those are some of the things that I think, yeah, we need to apply our minds deeply to this.
Thank you so much. Let me start with Adam Chabele. Thank you so much. We like to encourage officials and everyone reporting to a committee of parliament to really be as honest as possible. This could be very, very embarrassing, and these are the circumstances that force us to resort to instruments under the Powers and Privileges Act to really have people under oath. And if you are seen to be inconsistent or lying to the Committee of Parliament, that's as equal as to what legal fund is called the perjury. I mean, there are charges, there are consequences, serious consequences, and the heads may even roll. So, just on the basis of that, on the sound of it, I've not seen it. I do know that it does border on such. I've been exposed before to that to the process I'm talking about, and it involved the late honourable minister, the late honourable Gwelida, and the crisis in Butterworth. I do know it's very ugly when Parliament resorts to those tools, when people are under oath. And so I'm just saying I'm shocked, because I didn't listen carefully. I did pick up that the what was certificates are issued under the trust's name. Now you are referring, or I'm traveling to a particular case where it's in the trust board's name. So unfortunately the board has left, but we hope that we don't have to resort to strong measures. It will be very, very ugly. Or even the SAPC processes here in Parliament, very strong processes, and they leave somebody down those processes. Honourable Robertson, my colleague, the bill went via processes, but there will be briefing on Thursday, but your point is about copies. Went via processes, ultimately up through to the programming committee, where the issue of introduction in the House was condoned in favor of a certain motion that was banning to dissolve Parliament at that point. So in the programming on that morning, all parties converged that no, that one of restitution we understand, it must then fly, go. So the basis for doing that is always that once something is introduced, it's there in hindsight. But what I will ask the committee support, their courtesy as human beings, to please recap it from hindsight for all everyone, and to recirculate, where possible, even by today. Where not possible, I don't know. I know that it's no longer in the hands much of the member concerned now. But if needs be, at all costs, there must be copies, at all costs. At all costs, there must be copies, yeah. So the issue about copies then falls off. The issue about time, I was explaining that it went through the programming committee, and at that point, it was hand-sorted. I did pick it up on Parliament's Twitter. We were away in KZN, Newcastle, that day. Yeah, when it was then answered it, yeah. But let's just agree there must be copies up front before everyone, so that issue is about the substance and not the technicalities like the frustrations of today. Yeah, right. So that would be that. Well, in the good enough minister, you were also there at some point before me in the Eastern Cape Legislature. While the meeting is a meeting of committee, but there was always courtesy to allow the the representative of the executive to really have a say at the closing of the meeting. Minister, anything to say?
Thank you very much, Chair. Thank you very much, really. It was good sitting in this meeting discussing particularly ITB, because it, as you will recall, this is the first time that these two have been separated. Now, we were faced with a tricky situation. You'll see that in the foreword, we made sure that that distinction and unity, that unity is achieved through the audit processes. Now, the challenge, part of the challenge there is that is the one that talked about administrative role of the board and the one of oversight. That is a tricky one, and I hope the committee will clarify itself and us. We'll try to do the same as well. Lastly, Chair, the we will be here tomorrow and Thursday, with your permission, for Thursday. Thank you very, very much for affording us the opportunity to listen and learn more about our work as well. Thank you very much.
Before we close off, we're done on my part. Thank you so much for cooperation. We then give the meeting back to the committee secretary. Officially now, we again have no chair up until when the chair will be present. It might take quite some time. So she's going to deal with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Members, I want to appeal that we, with your permission, we allow MP Ngoni to add up until Thursday, because if anything that comes that needs an attention of the chairperson in the absence, I will be going around searching for network. Thank you very much.
Okay, I certainly would want to move the proposition from your side, but I want to extend it to say until the chair is back and available to resume her duties as chairperson. Because I'm not quite sure, we suspect that the chair is busy with exams. But we would not want to have a situation that she's next week back in exams and then we must repeat this again. So I want to amend your proposition to say until the chair is back to resume her position, whether it's after Thursday or not. I also want you just to explain, Chair, Thursday, the former chair who is going to be the incoming acting chair mentioned that we are here on Thursday. Our communication that we have received only indicate today and tomorrow. So please just indicate to us so that we can indeed adjust our diaries. I have a meeting in Saldanha. I would have to cancel it to avail myself to be here on Thursday. Thank you very much.
Thank you. MP Matela, but I want to appeal to you not to extend the appointment further than Thursday. Because if we are saying until the chairperson comes back, it's against the rules.
Chair, I trust your guidance and I will do so.
Yes, Chairperson, I had budgeted Tuesday and Wednesday because the program said we are here Tuesday and Wednesday, and Thursday was not on the... I don't remember receiving anything about Thursday. So I have made arrangements for Thursday not to be... I didn't know I was going to be here on Thursday. So accept my apologies for Thursday. I'm doing it now. Yeah, no, I'm seconding the proposal. I don't have a problem with the proposal. We can't be sitting every morning electing a chairperson when we know that when the chairperson is coming back. I have no problem. But Thursday, I'm not going to be around. Because it was not done. It wasn't on my program. I'm hearing it for the first time here.
Thank you, Mr. MP Chabalank. I accept your apology. But the meeting can continue up until we get more apologies. Thank you. Thank you, members. Thank you, Minister and DMs. The meeting is adjourned.
Chair, offline, so we can...